from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If the Pirates sucked, I might want to make a whole show out of Aiyuk, even though I think there is a lot of Aiyuk saturation point. I think people have had their fill of Aiyuk. Now, the fact that I'm saying things are imminent, I think, changes a little bit. But I might want to go there, but I can't because of the way the Pirates lost yesterday. And if Shelton's there talking about how he's going to use the off day to maybe reevaluate how he does his bullpen, how about we use the off day to reevaluate him, period, as Pirates manager? I can't wait to hear him at noon tomorrow with the midday guys, because he's got a ton of explaining to do. And the press conference yesterday, maybe I shouldn't say this because of his relationship with the station, but I thought he kind of embarrassed himself, Chris. How defensive he got, how much he was willing to throw Holderman under the bus. Take some accountability and responsibility. You blew that game as manager. In a game your team had to have against the team you're chasing in the wild card standings, you're up 4-0, and your numerous blunders, managerial mistakes, contributed mightily to the Pirates losing that game. Like, I honestly think one of the decisions, and I don't like this guy very much, and not many other Pirates fans do, I don't think the Cubs win the World Series if they just keep Rene Renteria as their manager. Joe Maddon was available. They wanted to take that team to the next level. They went out and got him.
I will say, I think Joe Maddon very nearly cost them that World Series by leaving in Aroldis Chapman when his arm had fallen
off. Agreed.
And had Jason Kipnis swung at a hanging curveball, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Donnie, do you think John Russell gets the Pirates to the playoffs in 13, 14, and 15?
No.
I don't think so either. And so I do feel like managers have been probably by front offices, they've tried to diminish the value of them. Bruce Bochy just came out of mothballs and won a World Series last year with not a great team, in part because of how good he is at managing personalities and managing bullpens and managing pitching staffs. Chris, I look at it right now and think that they probably, if things don't change, if they finish where they are right now and miss the playoffs, I would make a change for next year.
Well, what I think Derek Shelton's personality was as a manager before this year was good vibes guy, which makes sense if you're a bad team with a young roster or a younger roster that's trying to start building a basic winning culture. You have a guy who you come in there every day as a player and you want to play for him because it seems like he has your back, that leaves tactics and everything else, though, just like completely out in the ether. Like, is he any good at that stuff? I don't think it's part and parcel with being a good manager that you also have to be like glacially calm. Like, remember Joe Torre would just basically never get mad. Looked like he and Mel Stottlemyre were just sitting in that Yankees dugout in the late 90s, just chilling, and then they would win, right? But like, you, there have been fiery managers. Lou Piniella was a pretty good manager. He would freak out and lose his mind. I don't think it's a great look for Shelton that after this game, he's like so heated and pissed off. He almost sounds like a guy who's like not thinking clearly. I've got to really cool down before I make any other decisions.
He wasn't thinking clearly during the game, so that would check out, Chris.
That's my point. Like, Donnie, again, I think has made a very good point on this whole broad discussion. Torre Lovello just acted like Cool Hand Luke in there. Cool, collected. Like, I think one thing that managers generally do in every sport, but, you know, head coaches, the team oftentimes adopts the manager's attitude. And if Lovello's in there calmly pushing buttons saying, you're coming in, I believe, hey, we don't have a closer right now because our closer basically lost it. I'm going to demote him, but hey, we're going by committee. I'm do it. I think that rubs off on players. And I think Lovello just being so calm and doing his thing all series was a marked contrast to Derek Shelton, who finally had like the veneer of I'm always going to spin it positive crack yesterday. And it was in spectacular fashion. It was Starkey's old theory about if you meet somebody that never gets mad, when they finally do, it's going to be a volcano erupting. And for him, that pretty much was. Hey, Holderman, you sucked. Be better. By extension, hey, Chapman, you sucked. Be better. Derek, he threw the fastest pitch in history to be hit for a home run, and it barely scraped the plate. It wasn't a bad pitch. You wouldn't be fixated on stuff like that if you hadn't blown two games, possibly, definitely one, with your own managerial decision-making.
So risk of hiring a guy when it's his first gig. It works sometimes. It doesn't work.
It works when you have better players. Let's be honest. It works better as a first-time guy if you have a loaded team, which he does not. They need a manager who can max out the roster they do have. That's the point.
He just made basic mistakes in a game. Like, the bunt thing, I honestly believe there might be a couple other managers. I think Lovello might have done it if he had first and second there. But then again, if you do it, you run the risk of them walking your best hitter and you're in the same spot with Cruz and De La Cruz up to try to drive in the winning runs. So I don't know. I feel like you're not asking him to be such a managerial godsend that you look at him like Leland and think he's good for 15 or 20 wins a year.
Or Francona, who I think would take those Cleveland teams to new heights.
Just don't soil the bed. Don't bed wet. Don't have a 4-0 lead. Like, it. Honestly, I know they don't want to overreact and get emotional over 1 out of 162. But given the stakes for this series, if you're in the front office or if you're on the ownership side of the Pirates and you watch that meltdown yesterday in the crowd, the fans know to get Beeks in the game, to get a lefty in there, and the manager doesn't. You have to look at him differently after that. I would.
Well, he has always taken, I guess, a little bit of, you know, pride, I would say, in saying, oh, no, I make these decisions, because he's been asked about decisions to pull a guy or not pull a guy, and he's been very defensive about, no, these are my calls. Okay.
I think they give him a rubric or a script to go by before the game starts, but Ben Cherington is not calling him or texting him, hey, put
this
guy
in, take that guy out. I don't think Ben Cherington's such a robot that he would say, you have to leave Holderman in, we need him confident. Or like, Beeks can't go today. We know that Beeks could go because he went the next inning. He has very little feel. He's a guy who, these are the first pony, the last like 2 weeks, let's say, when things have started to really pick up, they got on a little bit of a roll. These games post All-Star break are like the first true high-pressure games he's ever managed.
Yeah, and it
ever.
Shows. It shows, Chris. Maybe you'll get better with time, but they really can't afford that right now.
The first Arizona series, I thought, really showed it, and then this Arizona series drove it home, and you're looking at the difference of in managerial quality between a guy who just went three wins shy of the World Series and a guy who literally hasn't been there and done that, because this is it. This is his first time.
So when you've talked about squandering or potentially blowing it with this cornucopia of incredible pitchers with Skeens and Jones when he's healthy and Keller and on down the line. The point of bring in guys to help them. How about the person that's actually pulling the levers on things too? You don't want that person to get in the way of having the most success with them either. Like that has to be. Similarly, not that it ended up not working out for anybody, but it's not all that different from what we said about the Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett discussion when they brought Canada back for another year. If you really want this guy to thrive, why are you asking him to do the coaching? If you really want to get the most out of these guys, why are you asking Derek Shelton to manage them with no managerial experience really whatsoever other than single A ball, just a hitting coach most of his career? Are you convinced? Are you seeing enough that makes you think this guy, who's relatively green to being the man, is going to get you to where you need to go? They hired Hurdle. They could draw off of in what is maybe the hardest place in all of professional sports to coach or manage because of freaking altitude. This guy got this team to the World Series, and they went on one of the great heaters in baseball history to get there. You had a piece of evidence that this person could be a good manager. The same way you had a piece of evidence that Ben Cherington could be a good GM because he won a World Series. You have none of that with Shelton, Chris. That's when you hire a 34-year-old head coach like the Steelers did with Mike Tomlin, you run that risk. When you hire Mike Johnston like the Penguins did, you run that risk. When you're saying, we're going to hire this erudite egghead to be Sidney Crosby's head coach.
And sometimes it works out like it mostly did with Tomlin. Or it definitely did with Tomlin, especially at the outset, and then it doesn't with Johnston. I think this is the year, though. I think this is the year to make the decision in the offseason. They have consistently put out that messaging that, yeah, even though we're doing well, we still think we're a year early. You have to cut bait if you don't see what you like from him down the stretch. And even if like they fall out of it and then the games aren't as high pressure, I feel like this chunk of maybe 20 or so, 25 games, tells you a ton about the manager. These are de facto playoff games. I know they're not because they can't lose it in one of these series, but they can get behind to a degree that feels insurmountable. You lose a couple more of these series in a row. And oh, by the way, guess what?
I don't think we're that far away from that.
We're not,
because
it's
3.5 games out and they've got one of the hardest schedules in baseball. Right.
It's Pods, Dodgers, Padres. If you go like 2-7 these next 9, you're done. Bing bong.
Yep.
And what makes anybody think right now, based on the way yesterday went, or even the first game of this series went to some degree, or even like one of the game in Houston went, however you might want to look at it, like who thinks that Derek Shelton's going to pull all the levers to give the Pirates the best chance?
And think about this too, like on one hand you have the great pitching work that they've done. There have been examples of teams that have fired their manager but kept pitching coaches. Where pitching coaches have been inherited, you're going to take this job, you're going to keep our pitching coach because we like what he's doing with our arms. So Marine would stay and Shelton would go. Shelton has this, going back to Canada, Shelton also has the same issue Tomlin had with an assistant coach. Shelton has Andy Haynes. So when you have that issue where you have a team that is not like, they've underperformed, they weren't,
supposed to be a good hitting team.
I think most people thought they would be average, if not better.
Here's what people thought the formula was going to be for them to win. Above average offense for once for this franchise, and a bullpen that shortened games to 5 innings because it was so good.
So you've got in-game mismanagement, and you've got Shelton, who is a hitting coach by trade, hand-picking this guy to be the person that sets the hitting program for your entire organization. And that is blown up in spectacular fashion. So, you know, I've probably got on the air and said at times things like, if they finish with a winning record, how do you bring yourself to fire him? How do you get rid of a guy if he goes 82-80 when they were picked to win 76, 77 games?
Because you can at least point to like 5 games he might have lost by himself.
Right, and I just think better is out there. I just think because there's dudes with plenty of experience who've either been to World Series or close, and some of them have even done it with smaller market teams, or it wasn't like they had $150 to $200 million payroll. I just think it would be a disservice to this team if we see more games like that from Shelton yesterday, which I called the worst managed game I'd ever seen in person. If they bring him back just because there was some kind of incremental progress made on the win-loss front at the end of the year.
the wrong way to. That's the scared way to do it. That scared money doesn't make money if you do it that way.
Oh, and the stock market right now, Malzi, is dealing with that. Stock market
stonks down
big time.
Arrow go down.
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, I know nothing.
Is it
about
a crash? Would you say is this a?
I think it's all a reaction to like the Japanese stock exchange or
the
something.
Yen.
Oh, the yen is a big factor here. I asked one of my very smart finance buddies about it.
They said yen
is... And he talked about yen and hedge funds and a lot of interest rates and just, boy, some stuff happening.
Donnie, you get into any of that stuff?
Oh, I'm all about big yen. They're really starting to run the show here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.